Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whenever it is that you are seeing our faces or hearing our voices. Welcome to another episode of the Apple Tech Facts. I am your host, Josh Linen. Joined as always with me, Mr. Brilliant himself, Mr. Seth Cruz. How you doing today, sir?
Doing well, man. Doing well. Excited to be recording another episode. Excited to get to share things, security and news related, that people can look forward to hearing about.
So, we're recording this on launch day for iOS 17.3, as well as watchOS, iPadOS, macOS, Apple TV, all getting updates. We will get into the specifics of that. Let's get into it. First things first, we talked about it last week, Seth, on the podcast, mm-hmm. and we said that we were thinking that we would see Vision Pro the first half of, or the first quarter of this year. Well, the day after we recorded our last episode, Apple came out and with a press release that said that pre-orders were going to start pretty much the next day, and on February 2nd, they were going to be available for purchase and for order.
That's right. And there's been some interesting comments about how many of those they've sold. And just some napkin math here.
Love it.
They said 160,000 were sold. Okay.
Mmm.
Pre-sale.
This is pre-sale.
And the original estimate was 80,000. So they're saying 160,000 were sold. And if you take that times $3,500, $4.99.
Before tax.
That means they just cleared $500 million.
With a B.
$560 million. In pre-orders.
In pre-sales. And we're still about 10 days away from the actual sales of the device going on.
Right. Now, we had some nice discussions about this. And the thought was, well, what would they have spent on research and development for a product like that? And I said, I mean, $250 million maybe?
Yeah.
Right? And if you sold 80,000 of them, that would be the return on the investment.
And that's what they were looking for upon the pre-sale, so that everything that came after
was
would be profit.
And what this says, if our math, I mean, everything could,
okay,
is just...
Table napkin math here.
Yeah, and who knows, right, like how much it actually cost them for R&D.
Right.
But anyway, $560 million for an experiment? Like, that's crazy. Now, the cost is way too high. I stand by what I said about if you need new glasses. The other thing that kind of dawned on me, too, was what if you had been 2 years with your old glasses,
right,
used that prescription, and then a month later got new glasses? Now you're SOL, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, I still think that when they can actually adjust the vision for you without needing special glasses,
invasiveness. Yep.
I think that's when you're going to see this really take off.
Absolutely.
And
now they're going off height.
And you got to lower the price.
Yeah.
Now,
they need a non-pro model is basically what you're saying.
Exactly.
At half the price point.
Well, something a lot less than it is currently. The interesting thing about this is it is actually a Mac Mini, the hardware, built into a device that you can wear.
Right.
And it does have a lot of really good stuff.
There's a lot of utility in it. You know, and like, you know, we said, you know, last week, like for if you're in the big city where you have a whole studio apartment and your space is limited, or a one bedroom apartment where your space is limited.
Right.
And you have, you know, you have the income to purchase something like this and you need the space, that's going to eliminate the need for a desk because everything's spatial in the air.
Right.
Basically is what it comes down to.
Now I hope that the 3D that they're offering for the Vision Pro comes to anybody with a 3D television.
Sure.
and an Apple TV 4K, which I have.
Yep. I can't remember. It was a few weeks ago. I actually read an article about that, how they were going to be updating their entire iTunes library to 4K and 3D.
Right.
Or 8K now and 3D. So we don't know if that is going to pertain to just yet, if the, your Blu-rays and your library that you have, you right. know, on your Apple TVs. We don't know that
we don't
yet,
know
but
yet.
Again, we'll keep you posted. Something that else that I do want to note about this is that what we have found is that if this is going to be your very first introduction into the Apple ecosystem, guess what? You can't do it. You can't do it. But you have to have a pre-existing Apple ID and a pre-existing iPhone, iPad, or MacBook to make
it. Can't
this
be
order.
Your only item. It can't be your inaugural item. You
it,
have
it
to
can't
have other
be.
Things.
And the reason why is because when you are even in the pre-order process, you are actually having to be prompted on another device for basically setting up Face ID. So it's taking your measurements. It makes you do all of this
so,
just to order the thing, just so that it can get your measurements right on what size device you need, because they do have the whole small, medium, large.
Well, I'm going to say with over 1.2 billion iPhones in circulation currently active.
Don't think that that's going to be a problem?
I don't think it's a problem okay, since, what is it, 0.4% of that would have bought the pre-orders out?
Right.
I mean, it's just the numbers are crazy.
Yeah, it's again, and it's at, after this point, after today and yesterday, it's all profit.
Although I will say that usually people see the dates continue to slip for pre-orders.
Yeah, they are going to see those shippings out.
Well, but they stopped slipping, and so the thought is that they're not selling a ton more than what they've already sold.
Sure.
Which is fine. 160,000 of them.
They can, I guarantee they're not going to complain. And I think Tim Cook is going to put that as a success in the book.
Yep.
You know, just based off the pre-orders alone. And again,
the Sega 3D and all the other things that came before it that tried to do it
and failed.
Never got even close
to this.
This
is why you take your time on things. To do it right is so that when you have a major product launch like this.
And while it's not for you or me or probably most of our viewers,
you know,
I would say that charging $3,500 for the device obviously didn't stop them from selling out.
Exactly.
So
there's people out there. No, there's a market for somebody. And then we're in that market where if they come out with a pro model that's, let's say, half the price for figure sake, that's where us tech enthusiasts lie.
Yeah.
So enough about the Vision Pro that we won't own for probably another 5 years. Moving on.
Moving on.
Next up is, you may have seen it in the news headlines where there's kind of been a court battle with Apple pertaining to the blood oxygen sensors in the Apple Watch Series 9 and the Apple Watch Ultra 2. Now, two things here. One, Apple removed them from the shelves, from their shelves in their stores, so you cannot buy them. And then the court, they got a temporary approval to put them back on until a judge could actually rule on the matter. And it actually turns out that, Apple lost. And so now the blood oxygen sensor app-enabled watches, so that's your Apple Watch Series 9 and the Watch Ultra 2, are both now no longer on Apple's shelves. Now, Apple, and we'll get into this later, is they released an update that is going to probably affect those of you out there that have already purchased those devices to where it may disable
now,
that.
This also means an Ultra 1, the original Ultra, and other Apple Watches that have the blood ox option on them could be impacted by
Absolutely.
This because Apple's way of addressing the sales ban was to disable the feature. So I haven't heard with the 17.3 and watchOS 9 dot whatever and all the different things that are out there, I haven't heard if the blood ox sensor was removed. I would imagine that if it was removed from all devices, we'd already be talking about it with you. And the fact that, that we're not probably means that you're okay.
Yeah. Well, we don't know that for sure. We are actually released, as we are recording this, Apple did release all of these new updates today.
Correct.
So as we are recording this, we don't know yet, but as when you guys get this, it's probably going to be one of those things where it's disabled upon the next update. So just to kind of keep that in mind. And now, even though you can go to another big box store like Best Buy or you know, Staples, wherever that you buy your products at, these products at, you can still buy them with them enabled, because those companies actually pay for those devices ahead of time, and that's why you buy them at the price that you get them at with these features still enabled until you update them. So again, we'll keep you guys posted if that is a, if we find out, you know, upon updates that that is a thing. Next up, we have a few iOS updates that are released. We'll get into iOS and then macOS and Apple Watch. There's a few key features that I'm actually kind of excited about and that are probably going to be the most beneficial to you guys, the consumer and tech enthusiast. First being iOS 17.3. I will start with, you get stolen device protection. Is basically elevated security against a stolen device. So that comes with iOS 17.3 and iPadOS 17.3. Not yet with macOS 14.3, I think is the thing. But basically, once you turn it on, then it verifies your Face ID or Touch ID to access your iCloud account. It checks your finances against with, you know, Apple Pay. And it's just an extra layer of security and an extra peace of mind that you do not have to pay for. Now, that is moving, I guess, into the next piece of this with security updates. And I mentioned it last, you know, on the last episode, we consider ourselves the privacy experts and security experts. There was a major security flaw in the devices on 17.2 that Apple had they have fixed. They did not give specific details on the matter as to what exactly the flaw was, but this is going to be one of those times where you're not going to want to update your devices just by doing or letting the automatic update cycle happen. Because as we've talked about before, that if you have the automatic update enabled, you don't know if it's going to be 2 weeks from now or a month from now or 2 months from now before your device actually finally takes that update, just because the Apple servers take those up on random times.
Just keep it's a good reminder to keep your phone updated, and you can go into the general settings and go to the software update and press the button to force it to basically update. There's nothing wrong with getting the updates, and it'll improve your security by doing so. So we encourage you to go look at the settings, general software update, and force it to update your phone if you can. If you've got to delete your music in order to make room, do it. But, you know, this is definitely one of the times when you might want to not let it just do it on its own time.
And so you can easily get it done by going into the general settings and about section software update, and bam, it's literally right there. They make it easy as pie. Now, next thing that Apple did with the settings, and I guess which ties back to your Apple ID, is that they have now applied the warranty information to your Apple ID versus just the device that you're on. So if you're on your iPhone, you could go into the setting, your general settings, and the Apple warranty now will actually show you all devices associated with your Apple ID, not just the one that you're
on. That's very nice.
That includes your AirPods. That includes Apple Pencil stuff if you have it on there for, you know. That includes all that type of stuff. So that's a nice little feature that they have. They didn't announce it or make it, you know, one of those things where they made a big deal about it at WWDC last year. So I'm glad we're getting that. Last thing that is probably going to apply to most people. I shouldn't say last thing. There's more. That most people are probably going to be, you know, happy about is that Apple Music across basically iOS, iPadOS, and macOS now get collaborative sharing. So now you can actually share your playlist with your friends, and it's really easy. You click on, when you're in the playlist, you literally click on the icon that will show you to collaborate on it, and it will put a mini little Apple ID picture of you next to like each song on there that will show basically like who added it or, you know, who favorited that type of stuff. So pretty neat feature that, you know, I feel like a lot of people are going to get. The one thing that I am most excited about, and I shared this with you when it came out on the beta release, was the ability to share Apple AirTags. So they made, as soon as you go into the Find My app, you can select the device or the AirTag device, click on it, and there's literally a little icon or
share
that just says, share this to AirTag, and you select from your contacts who you want to share it with. Easy peasy.
So I provided AirTags to a bunch of family members in response to an incident involving you. And one of the things that definitely is something that had been noticed is, okay, everybody's adding these AirTags to their items or whatever, but now only they could see the AirTag. So what you're talking about is now, let's say that my wife has one in her car, I could see her car and my car if she shared it with me.
And if you are, this is going to apply to a lot of college kids, if you're out and you drop your phone and let's say it has a MagSafe wallet on it and the phone gets turned off or the phone dies, you're not going to be able to see your phone, or you'll be able to see the last location, but that doesn't mean necessarily where it is. So you'll, what you'll be able to do is you can share that AirTag with the people that you're hanging out with the most and log onto their Find My app and to their device and see the true location of it. So again, it's not a, you know, one of those things that is an absolute necessity, but it is an extra security blanket and something else that's nice to have.
It's great. It's great that that you can now do that. So that's new with 17.3.
This is all new with 17.3. Seth, you kind of pointed something out to me, brought something to my attention today that actually kind of came with iOS 17.2.
A hidden feature.
You know, kind of a hidden feature that nobody really talked about, but it's just now getting noticed. Tell me about it.
So, So it's called iMessage Contact Key Verification. And that's a mouthful. But really, what it's about is there was an app that Android users could download, and they could punch in their iMessage key, and they could basically spoof Apple with a key that would let their messages, their bubbles turn blue. And so it allowed an Android phone to talk to an iPhone over iMessage, and Apple didn't like that. So I think that this had a lot to do with them introducing this feature. But at its base, what it means is your messages were already encrypted end-to-end, meaning that only you and I talking, that Apple can't even see what they were talking about. So it's not somehow getting in the way of that. But what it did was it added an extra layer of security to the entire process to say that both sides can verify that the key that they have is a valid key. Now, how is it doing that? I don't know. Maybe it's asking the Apple Cloud, hey, is this still a valid key? what's your key? Yep, here we go. You know, like some kind of multi-process there to validate it. But whatever's going on there, it's not the messaging itself. It's the keys that are used to encrypt with that it's verifying. Yep. And it's just basically saying, is everybody on the up and up? What this prevents, it's going to prevent a really advanced hacking of your phone, which most people don't have to worry about. But if you were to travel overseas and go to certain countries that maybe don't have as many protections for people's freedom of speech and things like that, the chances are higher that your phone could be targeted for a very sophisticated attack run by the government of whatever country.
Right.
And this type of verification, if you turn it on, would prevent that. Do you need to turn it on when you're talking to your mom? No, probably not. But it's nice to know that that feature exists.
Absolutely. Yep. That's, again, if I think I would be worried if Apple didn't take these types of precautions and they weren't always continuing to up our security and protect us as an Apple community.
I think what it is if there's, whether it's North Korea or Russia or whoever's in the news,
right,
that they're trying to protect us against bad actors. It doesn't have to be the government. It could be somebody that's really advanced living in that country that's performing these attacks. I'm going to tell you that the attacks out there against all sorts of systems have gotten more complex,
yeah,
to where they're using AI to do things that we never dreamed an attacker could do. So if Apple didn't keep upping the ante, as you said, mm-hmm, as far as keeping us protected, there we would wonder why.
Yep.
So it's nice to see this continue, and it's just another thing that you're going to maybe hear about or notice, maybe, and Josh will show a little snippet or screenshot of it at some point on one of our social medias, but it's just something to be aware of. It's a feature. You go, oh, what's that? It's not going to hurt if you turn it on. It's not going to make things slow
you turn it on and it's something that you're probably going to notice that's literally going to take 5 seconds of your attention.
Yep.
That's it. Nothing more to verify.
But just know it's another thing that if you ever needed it, it's there.
Peace of mind.
Peace of mind.
Yep. Mental peace of mind. So, good thing. Moving on with macOS Sonoma 14.3. Not really a lot to talk about here, but... you know, like I stated earlier, Apple Music does get collaboration on there as well. And kind of same things that came to iOS 17.3 are also in iPadOS 17.3, with the exception of the Journal app. Mm-hmm. Now, this is Apple's brand new native app that they announced at WWDC last year. At this point in time, it has only came to iOS. It's not on iPadOS, which I would have thought it would have been the first device that they put it on. And it's not yet on macOS, so I'm curious about what's exactly going on there.
Sure.
And I'm curious because I've kind of seen and talked to and followed, you know, threads with some of the other, you know, tech YouTubers out there, you know, that we follow and converse with every once in a while, that they're trying it out. And the, you know, journaling, it may not have been something that they've ever thought about doing before, but it's something that I have done in the past. I don't feel, you know, a need for it anymore, but I understand how it works. So Seth, what I'm curious about is, how do you feel about it?
About the journaling?
About the journaling and being able to just, boom, go to a open up your phone app and journal. Versus handwriting on
it. It's not something that I would look for. Personally. But I think that if you're working through something where it's important to you, whether that's, you know, just part of your daily routine, Maybe you're in a program where that's important. There's a lot of reasons people journal. Mm-hmm. I think that it's nice that it's available. I think that, again, it's kind of like when we were talking about who was the Apple Vision Pro aimed for. I think the journaling app is aimed towards the masses, which means it has to work on the iPhone. I don't think, as convenient as it might be with a pencil, and it does make a lot of sense.
Or even a keyboard.
But I think that more people would have access to an iPhone than an iPad. And so I think that if we're giving something away for free, we're going to target it towards where it's used the most and then bring out a version. I mean, there's not a calculator app on the iPad.
Yeah.
How many years after the iPad came out?
12 years.
So, you know, I think there's a conscious decision. You can download apps.
Sure. That'll do free, the same thing. All that stuff.
But Apple made a conscious decision not to include one.
Yeah.
There's a calculator on the computer, but not on the iPad.
Yep.
So I just think that it may never come, and I'm okay with that.
Sure.
But I think there will be other app developers that will fill that niche.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm sure there already is. So this is one of those things where, again, it's not for everybody. But I will tell you that I do completely understand the utility of it, coming from a person that loves to get into productivity.
Sure.
And kind of one thing, I'll just throw this out there very quickly, is one thing that I've kind of noticed with the iOS system is combining the journaling app with the Apple's other new native app, Freeform. So if you have some kind of big personal vision board that you're working on or passion project that you're working on, combine those two apps and let us know what happens with it. I'm gonna put that in the comments. I want to see it. Combine those two apps for your workflow and see what happens and tell me your results.
Mm-hmm.
So put that out there in as the comment on there, and you know, I will be more than happy to respond to you. But the last thing is the other device that most people now have is the Apple Watch. Not a lot to talk about here, but it is watchOS 10.3. It is going to be available on Apple Watch Series 4 and every Apple Watch that came after basically. Yeah. So basically, we're getting a lot of new watch faces and animations. We're also getting a new watch band for Black Unity Month, with the month of February coming up. And also, what I'm kind of excited about is new Snoopy watches, watch faces. I paid, it was probably a couple months before they released watchOS 10, where Snoopy became available as an Apple Watch. I paid $6 for a whole watch face app that I would get all my watch faces on. Well, ever since Snoopy came out with all these different animations, there's like 129 different animations that he does. Mm-hmm. And now they're going to be, and now they're seasonal. So Snoopy does something different during the fall, then the spring and summer and all that, and Christmas time. It's quite enjoyable. It's a nice little entertainment thing, you know, just something to put a smile on.
Isn't it funny how an animation on your watch is now something that you worry about or pay attention to?
It's crazy. I never ever thought in a million years that it would be something that actually brought a smile to my face.
Yeah. I would say that I actually set up different watch faces and different things that happen throughout my morning routine. I find it very helpful to have certain watch faces when I wake up, certain watch faces when I'm driving, certain watch faces when I get to work. So I use focus modes that are based on basically, am I in my car? Am I near my work? Am I at my house? What time of day is it, right? Between this time and that time. And I've set up a whole bunch of different focus modes where they specifically change the watch face so that it does different things at different times. I even have one when I drive my Uber that it changed when I open the Uber app. It changes my watch face.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love it.
I think watch faces are kind of the unsung hero, the sleeper hit.
Yep.
Of the Apple Watch, and it really does increase the utility. If you have a watch, look for different faces. You can add them. You can configure them.
Yeah.
It's really fantastic. If you haven't played with it, go out and mess with it. You know, one evening, instead of scrolling endlessly on TikTok.
Yep. Basically, it's a better time waster than TikTok. Well, is what he's
saying.
For one night. Something else that they brought back with watchOS 10.3 that they kind of removed and changed with when the initial release of watchOS 10 was that you had to long press the watch face and then swipe to change the watch face. With watchOS 10.3, they are actually now bringing back the ability to just swipe on your watch face.
Oh, thank goodness, because I'll tell you what. The first thing I did was this. And I'm
first
like, where's
thing.
My watch
Where are
faces?
My watch faces?
Oh, I've got to press and hold.
Yep, I had to figure it out, you know, as it came. So just one of those little idiosyncrasies.
I'm glad they're bringing that back. That was annoying.
Exactly. So annoying. You know, got used to it, so it didn't really do, you know, no harm, no foul or anything like that. But again, it's the small things in life. And, you know, just swipe to change the watch face. It's convenient.
Love it.
Yep.
Speaking of small and easy things to do, hit that like, subscribe, and notification bell so you never miss an episode.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. And if you guys made it to the end, I promise you we are very grateful for your time, because we know that there's not a lot of it in this world to go around, but you chose to spend it with us. So thank you so much. We'll see you guys next time.